Welcome to The Word at First Press Church of Arlington Heights. The sermon is based on Scripture to help us see how God was at work in the lives of the faithful in their time and how God is at work now in our lives on our journey of faith. I invite you to listen for how God's Word might be speaking to you today. Our first Scripture reading is from the book of Isaiah, beginning with the 16th verse of the 43rd chapter. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second scripture comes from the Gospel of John, the first 8 verses of chapter 12. Let us continue listening for God's voice speaking to us. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There he gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given for the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, as I said at the beginning of the service, Barbara is not here this morning. She was also in St. Louis last Sunday, but was here for most of the week and decided to go back on Friday when it seemed that her brother really needed her again. While she was here this week and knowing everything that was going on in her family, we talked about all that she had on her slate for the church, including preaching today and preparing for her last two spiritual practice classes. And I had offered, of course, to just sub for her today to prepare a sermon and preach. And she told me that she really felt the Spirit calling for her to prepare the sermon today, even if it would turn out she could not be here to preach it in person. She also led her class quite beautifully on Wednesday and prepared another wonderful class for this coming Wednesday. So she did prepare the sermon, not knowing for sure if she would be here. And it is my honor to preach on her behalf. So as I offer this sermon, it is written in the first person. Just keep in mind, this is Barbara speaking. During this Lenten season, we have been exploring what it means to come back to life, even as we experience darkness in our own lives. Darkness that sometimes comes from within us, our own experiences, or outside of us, things that are imposed upon us. Darkness comes upon us simply because life is hard and we are not really in control. It has been my own darkness that has inspired me to find ways to bring healing to others. Loneliness, grief, loss have all been experiences that felt like darkness to me. I'm sure each of you might have different words to explain your own darkness. But this I believe, all of us experience periods of darkness at some time in our lives. These disorienting experiences of darkness often lead to a sense of disconnection from others, and even disconnection from ourselves and our understanding of who we are. At these times of darkness, I know what I needed. I needed healing, healing of my soul, my spirit. Have you ever felt your soul needed healing? Healing comes in many ways, but I discovered that the type of healing I needed required reclaiming connection, acceptance, and love for those around me. We are all called to be a healing presence to those in need, but how can we become this for one another? For just being in relationship with another person does not guarantee it will foster healing. Some relationships can be damaging, destructive, doing more harm than good. So how can we be present to one another in a way that healing can come? At the core of healing relationships is compassion. Compassion experienced and compassion shared. This morning we get a unique look into Scripture, for the learning for us comes not just from the words written, but from the shared experience of compassion. Real compassion made visible in this interaction between Mary and Jesus. We get this image of Mary anointing Jesus' feet with perfume. I can see her leaning in close to Jesus, touching his feet, and Jesus accepting her gift of touch and connection. From the outside looking in, knowing just what compassion looks like can be challenging. It can be easier to know what compassion is not. Because regardless of what something looks like, our hearts always know. Our hearts know compassion. Our hearts know when another person is present to us in a way that builds connection. I want to share with you a brief clip by Brené Brown that will help us see even more clearly the relationship between compassion, which is empathy, and connection.
So what is empathy, and why is it very different than sympathy? Empathy fuels connection. Sympathy drives disconnection. Empathy, it's very interesting. Teresa Wiseman is a nursing scholar who studied professions, very diverse professions where empathy is relevant, and came up with four qualities of empathy. Perspective taking, the ability to take the perspective of another person or recognize their perspective as their truth. Staying out of judgment, not easy when you enjoy it as much as most of us do. Recognizing emotion in other people and then communicating that. Empathy is feeling with people. And to me, I always think of empathy as this kind of sacred space when someone's kind of in a deep hole and they shout out from the bottom and they say, I'm stuck, it's dark, I'm overwhelmed. And then we look and we say, hey, and climb down. I know what it's like down here. and you're not alone. Sympathy is, ooh, it's bad, uh-huh. No, you want a sandwich? Empathy is a choice, and it's a vulnerable choice, because in order to connect with you, I have to connect with something in myself that knows that feeling. Rarely, if ever, does an empathic response begin with "at least." And we do it all the time. Because you know what? Someone just shared something with us that's incredibly painful, and we're trying to silver lining it. I don't think that's a verb, but I'm using it as one. We're trying to put the silver lining around it. So, I had a miscarriage. Oh, at least you know you can get pregnant. I think my marriage is falling apart. At least you have a marriage. John's getting kicked out of school. At least Sarah is an A student. But one of the things we do sometimes in the face of very difficult conversations is we try to make things better. If I share something with you that's very difficult, I'd rather you say, "I don't even know what to say right now. I'm just so glad you told me." Because the truth is, rarely can a response make something better. What makes something better is connection.
I'm going to take a few seconds to go back into my voice and let you know that this is now only the third time I've seen this clip, and it did resonate with me. I hope it resonated with you. One of the lines that really I'm still pondering today is that rarely does a response make something better. Only connection does that. Now I'm going back to speak for Barbara, and she writes, "I have watched this clip so many times I've lost count. It speaks to me at a heart level and helps all of us to understand how to build connection. Empathy fuels connection and sympathy drives disconnection. Connection is what we are striving for if we are to be a healing presence to others, a healing presence that is life-giving. Brené Brown defines empathy as feeling with people. So connection is made when we are vulnerable enough to show our own feelings as a way to connect with one another. I've heard many reasons why connection is difficult. Maybe you feel you don't have the gifts needed, saying to yourself, I lead with my mind and not with my heart. We have many reasons why we choose to keep distant from those who need us. It can be really scary to enter into another person's pain. But this is what Brené says. Empathy is a choice, a vulnerable choice. In the scripture passage from John's Gospel, Mary is making a choice to show compassion to Jesus. It was so hard for the disciples to comprehend that Jesus was to die. They wanted to deny it, to move on, but not Mary. We know from scripture that it is just 6 days before the Passover. 6 days until Jesus will enter Jerusalem, and he knows that it is in Jerusalem where he will die. When Mary anoints Jesus' feet with perfume, she is entering into a sacred space, being present with Jesus in a way that she is sharing with him in the death that is to come. Jesus connects the anointing to his own burial. When one risks being present to another, there is a connection, a mutuality that binds you together and is life-giving. Mary was courageous and vulnerable. Jesus was open
and welcoming. Think about how rare this is. Our natural tendency when someone is dying, or even when someone is simply going through a difficult time, is to stay in the background, keep a bit of distance, hold back our feelings and emotions. Letting yourself join in the experience of another's pain and suffering, being present without judgment, without a fix, without an easy answer, simply being present is a holy, holy experience. It is holy because in these moments of deep connection, in these moments of experienced compassion, God is present. The living God is present, turning darkness into light. God is present, creating life out of death. We can be stewards of healing by showing compassion to one another. Healing comes from an authentic connection with one another that is always, always life-giving. On behalf of Pastor Barbara, and in the name of our Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit, amen.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about the ministries and mission of First Presbyterian Church of Arlington Heights, Illinois, please visit firstpresah.org, where you can get information about our services and programs, including times and directions, and communicate with us about a prayer request, any questions you have, or how you might like to get involved.